How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with Alex and Ryan. So yesterday on the Yes Network, Brian Cashman spoke to Michael Kay, a couple of the analysts, and really discussed a couple of pressing kind of topics, I could say. And they talked about the backup catcher. They talked about the bullpen. They talked about the third base position. So we'll address all of those certain things, but specifically had a really weird interaction when he was talking about Gleyber Torres. And then Gleyber Torres went online and tweeted about it, and then obviously deleted the tweet later on, but we still saw it, everyone saw it, and kind of aired some grievances publicly. The page was kind of turned. I get where Torres is coming from. Like, you know, I feel like it was so unnecessary for Cashman to air it out like that, but it was kind of funny, and we're going to talk about it and really discuss like where things went wrong there and now the outlook of the infield without Torres. And, you know, they did mention the leadoff spot, and he said, you know, Aaron Boone has suggested, or rather has an idea of where he's going with the leadoff spot. And recently he did mention Jason Dominguez as a possibility. So that could be where the Yankees are kind of turning their attention. But I want to talk about the Gleyber Torres situation, Ryan. Before we do, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it's been a calm Friday after what was kind of a randomly wild Thursday night in Yankee land. Now, look, in regards to Gleyber, he is a player who is going to be productive in the infield, and I'm sure he'll be good with the Tigers and he'll have a solid year. And I commend him for what he did in the second half last year, and I commend him overall for his time with the Yankees. But I mean, to me at least, what I don't understand is why he's watching Yes Hot Stove at 7 p.m. on a Thursday in the, you know, with a week until pitchers and catchers report. I don't really get it. I just don't. And, you know, I know that, look, we could talk about whether, you know, Gleyber having bad feelings towards the organization, whether that's fair or not. You know, that's up to discretion. We were not, you know, you and I are not in that clubhouse. You and I did not get to witness the interactions between the FO and Gleyber Torres. But, you know, you can see why on the Yankees' end they let him go. And you can see why on Gleyber's end he had to leave. So, look, the Yankees, I thought, I wanted them to extend Gleyber after 2023. They bet against that. Their bet was probably correct, because if we had extended him, I don't think the contract would look very strong after last year, considering a continued regression defensively, the addition of Jazz Chisholm, and overall, just like, you know, he probably would have gotten $20 million a year. Do you want to be paying $20 million a year for a bad defensive second baseman with a good, not great bat? Like, that's kind of where we're at. And you know, I just like Brian Cashman. Yes, he mentioned that Gleyber refused to play third. I don't know if that's his exact verbiage. I'll pull up the quote here that he used to talk about Gleyber. He had mentioned that when I acquired Jazz, this is Brian Cashman, I acquired Jazz to be our second baseman and moved Gleyber to third the rest of last year. Booney wanted to do it the other way, so Jazz at third and Gleyber at second. He moved Jazz to third after we got him and Gleyber to second because Gleyber didn't want to move to third. He was unwilling. Now, that isn't new news. Gleyber Torres himself, if you guys remember, in Fenway, after the Yankees acquired Jazz Chisholm, told the media and told reporters, "I am a second baseman. I did not like playing third base." So, the Yankees, Brian Cashman did mention it, but it was Gleyber who first put it out there. The only reason we knew he didn't like playing third is because Gleyber Torres himself said it. And so when asked about the conversation, because he was asked about the infield alignment, where do you see Jazz Chisholm? He was just relaying what they were intending to do with Chisholm when they first got him, why they didn't do that, and what the preference is moving forward. And if you want Brian Cashman to lie and say, we actually want to play Jazz at third, fine. But he was honest, he was transparent, and quite frankly, I don't know how else to word that. He didn't want to move to third, and he was unwilling. Do you want, like, my thing is really, and if you're for Gleyber Torres, what would you like Brian Cashman to have said? Internally, we decided not to play Jazz at third? Because that's not what happened. Internally, they decided they did want to play Jazz at second, or Gleyber at third. It was Gleyber who didn't want to play third. It's fine for him not to want to play third as well. I understand not wanting to make the positional change, and I think the Yankees handled it the right way by not moving him to third base against his will. But again, I there are so many debates about this, whether it's whether what Brian Cashman said was fair or not. It's not fair or unfair. It's truth or not true. It's true or false. He told the truth. He told the truth that Glaber put out there. And then number two, did the Yankees handle this correctly? Yeah, the Yankees should not have forced the guy to play out of position. I'm seeing way too much talk about the Yankees should have played him at third anyways. Boone is soft. Cashman's soft. They let them do whatever they want. Well, you play a guy at third and he's not willing to. Maybe Glaber doesn't have that strong second half. Maybe the Yankees don't win the division. Maybe the Yankees don't go to the World Series, right? That played a huge role in the Yankees getting to the World Series. So I'm going to just throw that as like, that's also crazy talk. And then the last point here, whether Glaber should have been willing to play third or not, I think it's unfair to be like, he should 100% have said, I want to play third base. Mainly because like, forcing a guy to play a position or telling a guy to make a position change, during a year in which you're about to hit free agency, just doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel like it's fair to like demand that of a player. Now you could ask them, and if they say no and you go, all right, fine, I think that's a respectful way to handle it. But if you're a fan and you're either A, upset that the Yankees asked him, B, upset that the Yankees let him play second anyways, or C, upset at Glaber for not wanting to play third, I think you're just wrong. I think this is just a very diplomatic thing that for some reason, not only fans are blowing up, but Glaber himself is blowing up to be a much bigger deal or a much more personal insult than it actually is.
I mean, listen, Gleyber Torres, and let's be quite honest, would have been a better third baseman. He doesn't have great range. He makes a lot of mistakes. He might have had a better career at third base, but clearly he doesn't want that. He wants to be a second baseman. And look, he's a professional player. He doesn't have to change positions if he doesn't want to. So I get why, he's kind of against that idea. But at the same time, if you're a team player and you're trying to win a championship, Ryan, that's kind of how I see it. Like if the Yankees come to you and say, our best chance of winning a championship is if we have you at third base and Jazz at second base. That's our best chance. Do you want to win a championship or do you want to potentially compromise our capabilities in the infield because of our defensive issues, right? And I think that that's kind of like personal preference versus team preference. I think that Gleyber Torres opted for his personal preference. And that's why the Yankees didn't tender him an offer, because he came across as someone who wants to prioritize what is best for him. And Jazz decided he was going to do whatever was best for the team. That's a bit of a different scenario. And I think that that's kind of something that, Torres, it echoed through over the years, because he did not want to change positions. He was at shortstop. He didn't want to change from shortstop. Then he went to second base, and now he doesn't want to change from second base. And he's a well below average. He was one of the worst defensive second basemen in the sport last year as a starter. So when that's the case and you're the Yankees, you kind of look at the situation and be like, well, you had a chance to help us win a championship and you decided to bet on yourself, not on the team. And that's kind of how they feel. And then Torres is like, well, I was a free agent and I have to protect my interests and I have to go into the offseason knowing like what my position is going to be and how I'm going to market myself. I actually think it would have been beneficial for him to go get some reps at third base, because maybe he would have looked a lot better there. Maybe his stock would have been greater. Maybe he would have got a multi-year deal instead of a one-year contract. Like it might have benefited him to do that. So I don't know what his reasoning is, but to me, it came off as a little bit selfish. Even though I get he doesn't have to do that, nobody should, doesn't have to be something that people talk about, doesn't even have to be a storyline. But I think for a team that was going to try to win a World Series, and they asked him to do what was best for the team, and he said no, that's not the type of people you want in the clubhouse all the time. And that's kind of where I was like, okay, like that makes sense that there was some beef there, but airing it out in public obviously is completely unnecessary. That whole interaction was kind of just out of the blue. I don't really get it. I don't really understand it. I don't even know why there is beef to begin with. What's done is done. Let's move on. So Ryan, let's do the same. Let's talk about third base now. And what Brian Cashman had to say about DJ LeMahieu, Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera. And then he did open the door and say, we're still monitoring the marketplace and we're looking at options. And, if something comes to fruition, then it does. But right now, DJ LeMahieu cannot be trusted. Oswald Peraza cannot be trusted. I know people want to be optimistic about Peraza, but he is not going to be a good offensive major leaguer. And like, he could get there, but he was a middling minor league offensive threat. So why would he be better against even better pitching? That's kind of the logic there. Oswaldo Cabrera, of any of the three guys, I would rather have him playing every day. That's my opinion. I want him as a super utility man. I like him in the utility role. I don't want to change that. But if we have no choice and our backs are against the wall, I want Oswaldo Cabrera starting every day. If you had to choose from the three, Ryan, where are you going in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've used the expression two cheeks of the same ass. If it's possible to develop a third cheek, that's what this scenario is, right? It's three cheeks of the same ass. But I would agree. I mean, I think that term, that three-letter word that could also mean donkey, is a little bit harsher to describe Cabrera. I think Cabrera is actually really strong in that utility role that he plays. And I think he's the best player of that group. But I also think that the Yankees would be misusing, weakening their bench, misutilizing, underutilizing, whatever term you want to use, miss just not the right allocation of talent to stick Cabrera at one position and say, you're our starting third baseman. And also, I don't think they have the personnel to necessarily say, all right, let's play DJ against lefties, because he was bad against lefties last year, and he's old, and he's injury-prone, and the team wanted to cut him in X, Y, and Z. And I don't view Peraza as that either. I've talked about this on the show multiple times. It makes no sense to me to believe that Oswald Peraza and DJ LeMahieu are actually in a battle for anything. The battle is Peraza prays that somebody gets hurt. And I'm not saying that to say that Peraza's a bad person, or that he'd be a bad person for, like, yeah, I kind of need an opportunity here. But, like, if you're Peraza, you got to be thinking, man, if somebody doesn't get hurt, I'm getting traded or cut. And that's not, like, that's just the reality of it right now. If Oswald Peraza does not, you know, if someone doesn't get hurt in the infield, he's going to be gone. So, I, you know, and the Yankees don't really seem to care either way if he's gone or not. They just don't really seem to care for the player. You know, they have Jorbit Vivas in AAA. I think he needs more time, more seasoning in the minor leagues. This is kind of his do-or-die year, given that he was granted an extra option. So it's do-or-die. It's put up or shut up. Peraza's put up or shut up was last year. He did not put up, and now he's got to kind of shut up. Now he doesn't talk. The expression doesn't really work there, I guess, because Peraza handles this pretty professionally. I'm not, like, disparaging his personal character or whatever. I'm just pointing out the obvious. He's just not, as you mentioned, it's just not good enough. LeMahieu is less deserving of a roster spot than Peraza is. At least Peraza could run. At least Peraza, you know what? You need somebody to run? I got Peraza. You know what? If there's a world where Peraza's productive, it might be as a short side platoon, right? Hit against lefties, rover all around the infield. Oh my God, that was a mouthful. Pause. Just, this is really not going well for me. Anywho. Point is, Peraza might have more upside than LeMahieu in that short side platoon role, because he can play short, he can still play second, he can play third, he's insurance there, he might be able to hit lefties. I don't know if he will hit lefties, but there's something interesting about Peraza. There's something interesting about DJ LeMahieu. It's boring. He's slow. He's not even capable of playing second base. Why do I need the first base utility? I don't need the first base utility. Cabrera can play first base. Bellinger can play first base. We already have Goldschmidt to play first base. Rice can play first base if they want to bring him on a bench role and be your backup catcher. JC Ascara can play first and be your backup catcher. I know Alex Jackson was mentioned by Brian Cashman a lot. They would have to move someone off the 40-man to get him involved in this, so you know, I think Jackson could get involved, but two of your, like, three biggest contenders for a backup catching job can play first base at a decent level. So I don't really care about that first base utility, and my utility man can do it, and my center fielder can do it. I don't need LeMahieu to play first for the New York Yankees. I never want to see him play first for the New York Yankees. You know what I mean? If somebody goes down, Ben Rice can go play there. If somebody goes down, go move Bellinger to first and play Grisham in center if you don't want to bring up Rice, right? Like, I'll do a million things. That's two things right there I would do before I start playing DJ LeMahieu at first base. So there's that. The Yankees need to be bringing in a starting infielder, someone like a Willy Castro. Dream about a Nico Horner. Maybe the Cubs sign Bregman. Maybe that becomes available. Maybe that's a route the Yankees could go. The only thing hurting them in those talks, the Cubs are going to want a draft pick. They would like a competitive balance pick. And the reason for that, and I was reading an article by Jacob Zanola on Twitter. You guys should follow him. He's very good for Cubs information and delivers a lot of scoops there. He was one of the first people to report Yankees' interest in Horner earlier in the offseason. He detailed that because if the Cubs sign Bregman, they would lose more picks. Getting a competitive balance pick would help them recoup a little bit of that draft capital that they're going to potentially lose by signing Bregman. So I'm not sure if that would hurt the Yankees. Maybe the Yankees can trade for a draft pick, something of the sort. But realistically, Willy Castro should be available. Twins wanted to spend $5 to $6 million, according to The Athletic and Dan Hayes of The Athletic. Great Twins reporter. You should follow him as well. And they spent $9.25 million in the last week, and they want a veteran infielder. So the math ain't mathin'. They're going to need to move somebody. Willie Castro, that's somebody you can move, and that's somebody you can absorb $6.4 million. Not going to kill your payroll. And if you move Stroman and you move even like $8 million of it, you're back to like 302, 303. If you want to get under, go move Mark Leiter Jr. I don't care. But they need to get an infielder, Alex. And I'll even argue, let's go get a right-handed infielder, please, to replace LeMahieu. Because ideal world, my infield, I got a starting third baseman, Cabrera's my utility man, and I got a right-handed bat off the bench that if I need to bring him in against lefties, I got a guy. Because, I mean, Alex, last year, game two of the World Series, I wrote about this today, Alex Vesia threw a meatball to Jose Chirino, and Chirino just missed hitting a home run. And had he hit a home run, Yankees would have taken the lead and gotten an opportunity in the ninth inning to win the game by just closing it out. And if the Yankees win that game, changes everything. I mean, we're talking about, hey, you're down 3-1, then you win game five, or you win game five, game four, actually, you would never have been down 3-1. You would have been down, it would have been a 2-2 series. They would have won game three, the Dodgers, Yankees win game four, and maybe the energy is just different in game five. Maybe you end up winning game five, and you're up 3-2, and you go back to LA. That's not even, again, there are just so many realities, and this ties back to Gleyber, because one of the biggest gaffes in that game was Gleyber not corralling that ball, which, like, you know, I guess I should turn the page, but like maybe you should, you know, field the ball properly. You know what I mean? Like I really, I don't know if I can get over that. I don't know if I can really get over a guy going, yeah, I'm a second baseman, man. I'm a second baseman. And then like getting upset that the GM mentioned the thing you made public. If Gleyber Torres never says it, that's never public information. Brian Cashman in that same interview goes, oh, Aaron Boone hasn't made his choice on who the leadoff hitter is going to be public yet. I won't mention who he's been talking about. Brian Cashman doesn't make stuff public that wasn't public before. Brian Cashman states the obvious. Brian Cashman, he's not going to tell you how he actually feels about a player. I bet in the back of his head he's like, yeah, remember when Gleyber like didn't want to play third base, and even though he's an awful defensive second baseman and completely screwed up what our plans were for the infield? Like, I'm not saying he should have played third. That's not my argument, but, you know, the point is, Yankees need an infielder, need a right-handed infielder, and they need someone who can field the cutoff throw in the World Series and not botch the ball and cost the Yankees game one of the World Series. That's it.
I would agree. And listen, all of those factors, then throw in Max Fried. You know, it's like all of those things, then throw in one of the best run prevention pitchers in the game. And if you don't have a competent defense behind one of the highest ground ball starters in the game, best run prevention pitchers, you are going to suffer. And you know, how many times, Ryan, did we look at Marcus Stroman and be like, wow, like, I mean, there was more so the offensive support, but we looked at specific pitchers and we're like, they're getting unlucky because their defense is killing them. You know what I mean? Like, they're getting beaten up, not because they're pitching poorly, but because their defense can't field the ground ball, can't get the ball to first base, can't get the cutoff, man. It's basic stuff. Fried is great because that Atlanta infield, you know, was competent. And I think that for the Yankees, they have to get a piece that's going to be competent defensively at the very least. That's why if they go with the three guys they have already, look, DJ, Oswaldo Cabrera, Peraza, they're all defense-first guys right now, right? I personally would go with Oswaldo Cabrera just because I think the offense is a little bit more upside if we have to choose from those three. But of course, like if you have a chance to get a Willie Castro, yeah, I'm gonna make a move for that. I think that that's obviously a good idea. You know, you could try for, I mean, obviously our preference is Brendan Donovan, but we don't know or think he's going to be available. So at this point, you know, the options are slim. It doesn't seem as though Cashman's being overly aggressive, but more so waiting for things to happen during spring training. Like, think about this. If a team that has a lack of starting pitching, suddenly one of their top pitchers goes down, the Yankees can, I mean, if it's going to be for a guy like Brendan Donovan, I'm willing to trade Clark Schmidt, like, in a heartbeat. Right? That's kind of where I'm at this point. We have enough pitching. Just keep Stroman. You keep him under 140 innings and you just survive. Right? You piece things together. You could always go into the trade deadline at the midway point and try to get another starter and an expiring deal. You know, you're okay in that regard. Garrett Cole, Fried, Rodon, and Luis Gil's enough to be very, very good anyway. Let's be honest. And then, you know, that last spot with Will Warren and Stroman, you can survive there. So I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to trade Clark Schmidt if it comes to it. You know, if the Yankees end up with an opportunity and a team needs pitching, obviously, we don't know if that will be a possibility, but we're going to keep eyes and tabs on it, as always. But one other spot I want to discuss, Ryan, is backup catcher. I know Brian Cashman had some decent things to say about Alex Jackson yesterday, but he also said he is not a great... He said, okay, I'll kind of round out saying, like, he didn't really put much stock in his offensive qualities. As a prospect, he had some upside. As a major leaguer, Alex Jackson is a very bad offensive player. Now, he ranks in the 80th percentile in framing, so he's a decent enough defensive piece. You got him and, of course, Fernando Cruz in return, and he has one of the best split fingers in the game, plus control. How do you feel right now about the backup catcher for the Yankees, obviously Austin Wells being the starter behind him? Do you think that Jackson and Ben Rice, do you even factor Ben Rice into that equation, or do you think it's more so just a Jackson and Wells combination?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Jackson, look, guys, he's not a good hitter, right? You know, that's the buck on him. He has a 29 WRC plus in 124 major league games. No es bueno at hitting. That's goes without saying. 41.8% strikeout rate. Good God. That's, I mean, wow, it's bad. I mean, I knew it was bad, but, like, I didn't know it was this bad, you know, like, at the plate. It's bad. And look, I think the Yankees, you know, if they figure something out with, like, him against lefties, I don't know, maybe he can, like, hit decently against lefties, sure. Do I need a backup catcher? Like, no, I don't need one, but, you know, if they get one, cool. J.C. Ascar, I know, is someone they like internally. Could he be the backup catcher? I know he's a pretty solid defender, and, you know, the only thing is that he's left-handed, so does that really work with Wells? I guess he's a double right-handed platoon with Higashioka and Trevino. So, and again, that's where, this is why I really want to emphasize this, guys. It would be really cool if the Yankees added a right-handed infielder for, based on their roster construction, they need someone who could, you know, just kind of come off the bench and go, all right, I'm just going to mash from the right-handed side against lefties. And I think Justin Turner is, like, too expensive for that. Justin Turner replacing DJ LeMahieu, I know, like, old man, unction, all that stuff, but at least Turner can hit lefties. I'll mention Luis Urias. I'll mention Brendan Rodgers, because Jackson's not going to fill that role. Jackson's not really going to hit lefties, unless, of course, something happens and he just makes this shocking development at age 29. I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I don't. And if I'm not going to be able to hit left-handed pitching anyways, I'd rather have, you know, who I think is a better, like, it's just so bad. It's a 29 WRC plus, man. Like, you know, the bar is so low here. I mean, if Jason Scar's a 70, he's considerably better than Jackson at the plate. Again, I guess it comes down to defense. I'll trust the Yankees at the catcher position. I'll just kind of, like, defer to, I don't mind deferring to Tanner Swanson and going, yeah, if he thinks this guy's the best defensive player amongst this group of backup catchers, whether it's Rice, Jackson, Escara, I'll be like, yep, all right, that guy's got to be on the roster then. I want that guy on my team. And the Yankees are really good with catching development. Escara is someone I do just want to keep highlighting because he has a really good approach at the plate. I know he's an older guy. Again, 29 years old as a prospect, you know, unction kind of stuff. But he's got good plate discipline, makes a good amount of contact, can pull the ball in the air left-handed, blah, 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 so on and so forth. He seems to be able to handle lefties decently as well. And again, like I mentioned, go bring in a right-handed infielder. Say, DJ, bye-bye, bye-bye. Bring in a guy, you know, to compete with him in spring training. Maybe Rogers is still going to get a major league deal. Maybe Luis Urias still gets a major league deal. But, like, if they don't, or Kike Hernandez, I think Jose Iglesias is looking for a multi-year deal. Again, I'm not factoring him in this just because of the price tag, even though he would fit this role extremely well. If you bring in a Willy Castro, and you bring in a Brendan Rodgers or a Luis Urias, or, you know, just insert right-handed infielder here, all right, well, if I have J.C. Ascar on my roster, if I have, you know, a situation where Willy Castro's up and it's a tough lefty, it's a ninth inning, runner on second, one out, like, I'll bring in Brendan Rodgers against that lefty. Or if it's, like, backup catchers up, Alex Jackson or J.C. Ascar, all right, cool, I'll bring in Brendan Rodgers, you know what I mean? And if it's a right-handed pitcher, I'll bring in Austin Wells. So, I mean, I'm not saying Yankees should platoon Wells either, but, you know, it's a catcher position, it's physically demanding. I just, if the Yankees are not going to have a tried and true backup catcher, which is fine, like, they're going to, like, roll the dice here. Again, I don't care if they do or don't. I'm not going to be upset. They should improve their bench to make sure that that guy can get out of the game and the Yankees can bring in someone who can actually hit. Because if that's not the case, their bench options for, like, Escara or Jackson against, like, a lefty or some crap like that, it's Trent Grisham, Oswaldo Cabrera, Austin Wells, and DJ LeMahieu or Oswald Peraza. And that's if they get an infielder. Yeah, that's bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the World Series, you're going to any of those guys off your bench? Because Wells shouldn't be in the bench in the postseason. He'll probably start every game. Who are you bringing in from the bench? You go, get me a big hit. Let's go. Get me a big hit. Let's go. Big hit now. Like, you can't do that, right? The Dodgers could do that. Mets could do that. Braves can do that. Red Sox, to an extent, can do that. Like, you want to have that. I want to have that on my roster. I just want to be able to, like, I have a lefty in the game. I want to be able to beat them. Bring in a guy who can match up with them. That's the part of the bench I'm more concerned about than the backup catcher spot.
That's reasonable. And there is another name that Cashman threw into the mix here for the infield that I forgot to mention, and it's Yorbit Vivas. That's a guy that I don't necessarily factor much into this equation. He's a better second baseman than a third baseman. Do you see a way that Vivas could make his, you know, name known in spring training? And I know last year had a pretty solid go of it, but I don't think he's ready yet. I don't even think he may never be ready, but is he someone they're even factoring?
Yeah, I don't factor him as a starter. I factor him as, like, if he has a strong spring, gets off to a good start in AAA, like, can the Yankees put him in the bench role? Can he, like, move around a little bit, be a little UTL guy? Played him at short for a little bit in AAA and in the spring training and kind of just improve that versatility. I think they really view him as, like, a capable utility man. But, again, as you mentioned, like, you already have Zwaldo Cabrera, who's, like, you hit him against righties, move him around the infield. Yeah. And he's fine. He's fine in that role. Vivas, is he like an upgrade over Cabrera? No. Are they moving Cabrera? No. I know teams have expressed interest, but they don't seem to be moving him unless they get something that like Trevino, you know, you just can't say no. Maybe a team does that. I don't know. But they need someone who, like, all right, again, bring him into a game. There's a specific situation in which this guy is going to be like a really good bat. Rogers, Arias, those kinds of guys against lefties. Luis Arias is a 118 WRC plus in his career against lefties. Brendan Rogers is a 120. It just helps, man. It gives you the insurance too. If you brought in a Willie Castro and he's like league average offensively and he's only good against righties, then you can get good production offensively against lefties by having a bench infielder, because you know you can bring that guy in to start that day, and then you can bring Castro off the bench. Or like Castro had a 113 WRC plus and then a 121 in the past 2 years against righties. Like, it's below average against lefties. That's fine. I won't, like, complain if he starts every day. I like him. But, like, ideally, in the ninth inning, I don't have to hit him against Tanner freaking Scott or something like that. You know what I mean? If Willie Castro's taking that bat against Tanner Scott, dude, we're not scoring. You know what I mean? I'm not saying Brendan Rodgers is a Tanner Scott killer, but if Tanner Scott comes into a ball game, what I'm doing if I'm him is I'm praying that Aaron Judge and John Carlos Stanton aren't coming up, because if they're not, they're not going to hit the guy. I would like another right-handed bat for the bench for that, and Vivas isn't going to scratch that itch for me. He's a left-hander, doesn't really kill lefties either. I think he's a little better against lefties and righties, or a little better than against lefties and most lefties, but he's not really a masher right now. Maybe it's a big year, maybe he steps up, things could happen, but again, I'm tying it back to right-handed, veteran, proven, can hit lefties. You have to check those boxes, and they need to bring one in, because LeMahieu is not that, and they should not roster LeMahieu in 2025 at all. And I know they're going to do it, but they shouldn't. I'm staking my flag and like, they should not do it. Please God, bring someone in, because you were going to try to cut the guy. Come on. You know what I mean? It's so, dude, do you know how pissed they are that like Eric Hubbs put it out there? They're going to try to cut the guy. Like, how do you even put out the, do you notice that Brian Cashman didn't do the whole DJ looks healthy, he looks fresh, this, this, and that? You know why he didn't do it? Because we all know that's not the case. We all know that if given the choice, if nobody opposed, if you ask Brian Cashman in a locked room, do you want to bring someone in to replace LeMahieu? Yes. And not as a starter, as a player on the freaking 26-man roster. Dude, they were going to have, like, think of who they had in the infield depth chart at that point in time. Like John Birdie, they were going to have John Birdie replace him. They non-tendered John Birdie, you know what I mean?
You know what the saddest part is? Like right now, I kind of wish we had John Birdie.
Yeah, that'd be sick. But they thought DJ was so bad. They were like, yeah, we'll take John Birdie over DJ LeMahieu. They had Duke Ellis on the roster. They were like, we'll take Duke Ellis over DJ LeMahieu.
Seriously, it's true.
And I would too, man. They had him fake some BS injury to get him off the roster so they didn't have to cut him. Oh, dude, I just, how can you go from that to, yeah, it's a battle between him and Peraza. Dude, everyone on the team could get hurt. They'll find someone to play before they bring in Oswald Peraza. They'll find someone. They brought in JD Davis before they gave Peraza a chance. You know what I mean?
That's like, such a good point. That's such a good point.
I can't be sat here and convinced that they actually think those two guys are going to be productive off the bench. And there's no reason to bring in a black hole on your roster. Just bring in someone who's cheap, $1, $2 million, And have them play that role and have them, you know, and also Jazz has injury issues. God knows Paul Goldschmidt's, you know, 38 years old. Anything could happen there. DH spot. You know, Stanton's due for an IL stint every year. You don't want to have, you know, a baseball team. You don't want to have, like, a bench that can play Major League Baseball in case, God forbid, every single year someone gets hurt. Someone's going to get hurt, man. Like, it's going to happen, and it's going to be like, oh, well, DJ has to start now. Last year, DJ got hurt before opening day. Year before that, Bader gets hurt. Year before that, I don't think they really lost anyone that I know of that year. That was really, they got really lucky that year. Not lucky as in, like, you know, they prepared very well in the offseason. But yeah, that's my spiel. Please bring in a bench infielder. Don't give me internal options. They don't believe in any of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no way that you can convince me that Peraza is ready to be a major league contributor at an offensive level. And, you know, he's a better second baseman and shortstop than he is a third baseman. So, like, what kind of defense are you really going to get there? It's kind of unknown. We just assume, but we don't know for a fact. Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely think the Yankees need to make another move, but we've been saying this for months now, Ryan, so we'll have to wait and find out over the next couple weeks. People will shake free. Teams will be looking to offload some pieces. You know, they have lots of spring training moves left to make over the next couple weeks, so we keep you guys updated. Wanted to get you guys some information on the Nuggets that Cashman dropped yesterday and react to some of that news, but always happy to get your thoughts down below in the YouTube comments section. Make sure to like and subscribe. As always, drop a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.